Okay. Good afternoon. This is Deborah Johnson. I'm convening the Colorado Secretary of State's Uniform Voting System Advisory Committee. It is now September 19th, 2013. I call this meeting to order. Let's review the agenda. Is there any comments or additions, takeaways from the agenda?
Madam Chair, we have some members on the phone.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we out there, Sheila? George?
I'm here.
Yeah, and George is here, too.
Great.
Connie here?
No, Connie couldn't even make it on the phone. Okay. Is Debbie going to be on the phone? No? Nobody knows. Nope, she's not on either. Okay. Any other comments on the agenda?
Just other than it's a full agenda?
Yes.
This is Faith.
Yes, it is full.
That's my comment.
Okay. Let's review the draft summaries of the last two meetings on the 11th and the 18th. Any comments on those? People on the phone, or is there any comments on the draft summaries?
I do not.
Thank you.
None here.
Anyone here? Any comments on it? Okay. Seeing none, that we will consider those adopted. Before we get into the discussion with Suzanne, I want to just take a couple of minutes and recognize Faith Gross. It's not on the agenda. However, Faith has been a stellar participant on this committee, but also in terms of the constituents in which that she represents. And I just want to say thank you personally. I think in getting to know Faith, I think one of the things that kind of resonates with me is her all-encompassing smile. It's very mesmerizing, your smile. It's awesome. I'm just saying. No, I mean, it goes with the personality. I mean, because you're so full of life and positive, and I just want to say thank you for everything that you have done. And also, I think I can speak for most of the clerks in the state stating that you have made our offices better. That your work in not only with the disabled community, but for voters in general, that have made our offices more conducive to participation, fairness. I just want to say thank you very much. And I want to open it up for anyone else that wants to make some comments. And I think Judd is one that also wanted to make some comments.
So I'm going to save the really juicy stuff for Wednesday at your going away party. Mm-hmm. But I did want to come and say a little bit. I'm actually barred by a letter from the AG's office for even being in this room. So I'm violating an AG order to even stand here. But that's how much I care about Faith. But I would say that that it's true. I've got a letter from the AG's office that says I'm not supposed to come to these meetings, to the UVS meetings. So she's flattered. Thank you very much. But over the last decade, Faith has done so much for our counties. And I just got back from visiting the Eastern region and the Southern region. And in both of those regions, I mentioned that you were retiring and would not be doing the visits and working on the HAVA grants anymore. And there were people in the audience, people that county clerks who have known you for years, who were very, very disappointed to learn that. And it's interesting because the posture is always coming down and measuring and showing that they're not quite doing it right and explaining why they need to, what they need to improve. But they never took it that way. They took it as you doing the good work of the state of Colorado and helping out people and helping out their constituents. So they really appreciated that work, and they were sad to see you go. And I wanted to tell you about that.
Thank you very much.
I also would like to say I probably have worked and known Faith the longest in this room anyway, and how much I appreciate working with her through the time in all different manners. And as a county that was reviewing all the important precincts that she, the work that she does and making sure that we were meeting the basics that we possibly could, making sure that, you know, we're using public buildings and going through how difficult it can be at times, but trying to be there for the citizens and making sure that the community, every community, was represented and could get into the polling sites and vote easily. So, Faith, it's I wish you the very best. I know you're going to have a great retirement and you've got lots planned, and I really think that you deserve every bit of time that and all the glory that you're going to get in the next few days. Thank you. I know nationally they're going to miss you as well as in the state, but thank you very much. Your name is throughout the nation also, so you need to know that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dana.
Faith, I want to thank you as well for your efforts on behalf of lots of folks, for voters, for those who might not otherwise have a voice, and for your efforts on their part. I am skeptical on this alleged retirement. So I expect to still see you at some things, but in, you know, perhaps in a less full-time capacity. But I could be wrong on that. But just thank you on behalf of all of the county clerks and all of the citizens of the state for your efforts to try and make sure that everyone has that opportunity to vote. So thank you.
Thank you. Great. Well, thanks, everybody. I do appreciate it. And I just want to say for the record, based on the conversation that Deb and I just had, I am not running for any office. I'm still laughing about that. I have no plans to run for any office, for the record. But thanks to everybody, and I'm sure I'll be around doing something as a volunteer related to voting. Just haven't figured out what that is going to be yet, and I'm going to take some time off.
Great.
Thanks.
Anybody else want to make any comments? And then
Faith has one last word, always. Because there was a reference to a party. So they are, the Legal Center is having a retirement party for me next Wednesday from 4 to 6. There will be hors d'oeuvres and beer and wine. And folks are, if you didn't get an invite, you're certainly invited. And our address is 455 Sherman Street here in Denver. It's across from the Red Cross building and also across a different street from Fox Channel 31. So you're all invited to come and party with us.
And also, too, I want to introduce Jennifer, who will be now serving on this commission for the Legal Center. So welcome, Jennifer. So any other comments?
I think you were part of our conversation on the Obama T-shirt. Jennifer is a graduate of the University of Alabama Law School, so she might be guilty of electioneering, according to at least one election judge, when she wore her Bama T-shirt in.
Okay. We already have the dirt. All right, so... And it's hard to say, you know, just move on. But, you know, thank you, Faith. I mean, it's hard. But anyway, Suzanne, you're next. Discussion of the governance and funding of UVS.
So I'm sure that you're all aware that we, the 1303 Commission, put out a report by SLI talking about voting systems in Colorado and the needs that are in the state, which is certainly something that overlaps with what this commission has been working on. One of the things that, you know, has come up time and time again is the issue of funding. And if this commission or the 1303 commission or I guess anybody who has a legislative sponsor has in mind that we would go to the legislature to request funding for some of these systems, the issue then becomes, what would the governance look like for disbursement of that funding? In some conversations I've had outside, when I met a couple weeks ago with Danetta and Clerk Anderson and I don't remember who else was there, but we had a discussion about this issue of governance and, you know, how would that work, and looked at the governance that's currently set up under the STARS system in the Department of Revenue and, you know, how they set up the appointments and then the disbursement of those funds. Because I guess historically, for anybody who might be listening and doesn't know, we received a large amount of HAVA dollars from the federal government years ago, and it's now time that some of that equipment is phasing out. And those HAVA dollars paid for much of the voting equipment around Colorado under the HAVA grant money, and it was dispersed through the Secretary of State's office. Now that those HAVA dollars don't really exist in any quantity that would help fund election equipment, the question comes up, how is that going to happen? Now, some of the larger counties have put money aside anticipating the purchase of election equipment. Many of the smaller counties have no money to put aside for election equipment, even under a bond structure or a lease structure. It would be difficult for many of our small counties to have that funding for the purchase of new equipment. So if we were to go forward and request some sort of appropriation out of the general funds from the legislature, then what would our disbursement look like? And from our office's perspective, we don't believe the governance needs to be with us. You know, this is an issue that the county clerks have, and while our office certifies equipment and, you know, ensures that the equipment is up to date and functioning properly, the funding of that equipment is not something that we have ever really been engaged in, but for the fact that we had all of the money from the federal government years ago. So in terms of governance, you know, if we had some kind of a committee that was dispersing those funds and some standards related to that, my thought is that our office would continue to do certification issues and those types of things, and then this committee would be responsible for determining, you know, the needs and the reimbursement. And then I had a lunch with Clerk Johnson today, and she had a suggestion that I thought was very interesting, which was, you know, that the funding might not even need to remain in the Secretary of State's office or be appropriated to us, but maybe be appropriated to DOLA and fund it in, and then disperse that way as DOLA disperses CDBG and a lot of other grant money. My concern is I just want to ensure that the funds are, you know, there's no politics tied to it. It's just a, you know, a needs-based system, and that we go to the legislature, you know, bipartisan with the support, hopefully, of this commission, 1303, CCI, the county clerks, and we would need that kind of coalition and that kind of support to get the funding. So, you know, however that works out structurally, we're very open to, you know, turning that over to another entity if that's something that the commission is interested in doing. And actually, that the notion of sending it to DOLA, I think, works pretty well for us. And we would also propose sending over the county reimbursements to DOLA at that point, because, you know, as many of you know, the Secretary's office is funded through cash funds. And so having general fund, we don't get general fund appropriations through tax dollars or other state revenue. Our revenue is all generated essentially through business fees and a few election fees that are related to campaign finance. But so to have that completely in a separate agency is kind of intriguing to me. I haven't really thought it through, but it would take away the issue of us taking in those general fund dollars and rather continue to have general fund dollars dispersed to another agency and then have those dispersed down to the county. So I just kind of wanted to open that up for discussion because I'm sure you all have thought about that. But we need to be thinking about it in terms of what would the legislation look like. And to do UVS, we have the authority in the Secretary's office to, you know, do UVS and then just have that be our only certified piece of equipment. But I think it would be important to have the legislature have this debate publicly about whether we're going to have a uniform voting system, whether that's going to be one or two, or there's going to be competition, you know, especially if we're asking them to be the funding source. I think that having that kind of open debate would be a good idea in any event. So just throwing that out there, this really is just for discussion purposes. Obviously, we haven't made any decisions, and we just want to see what the committee thinks about some of those options.
Well, this is Donetta, and first of all, I appreciate your openness, really do. The C-STARS, when it started, I mean, it's funded through revenue of licensing the license plates, you know, a little bit goes into the fund each year. And there was a committee set up, and the clerks have had input in that, and then there's a subcommittee also that works a great deal with it. And it seems to be, you know, everybody feels that it's very fair. And, you know, in how the equipment is dispersed and upkeeping that equipment and so forth. We wish we had a new system. I mean, the clerks do umpteen years. And the clerks are smiling around me that do motor vehicle because it is behind. But nevertheless, we were very concerned about, I think the clerks are concerned about the governance, wherever it might lie, whatever agency it might lie in. I hadn't thought about the DOLA. They do a lot of grants, obviously. But the certification obviously has been a discussion that we have always been concerned about. And in the legislation, if we decide to go legislation, I'd like to see it cover a lot of things. Governance, certification, you know, the authority. There's just issues that, you know, correcting even our law that we have currently on certification so that the state can move forward, so you can move forward as the SOS office. So I think all these things need to be considered, and definitely the clerks are, you know, it was kind of like, well, do we ask for funding when we thought there would be several million dollars this year that was going to be revenue that was kind of found late after last year, but after the floods, we know, and the fires that our state has had with Mother Nature, that we know that there probably is not going to be any extra money. And the counties that definitely have been affected by all these issues are going to be very tightly strapped also. So it's going to be a continuous problem, and I think it does need to be reviewed, and how fast can we do this, and how can we do it, and so on. I think that there's a lot of information. I look at the RFP, and it still concerns me because we don't know the amount that we need for them to even be able to give a true number. So I know how much work has gone on with the RFP, but I don't know how the vendors can really give us a true, you know, amount or whatever. But I really think we do need to look at legislation and look at all those issues, whether it's in one bill or several bills. I think we need to lay it out. I think it would be a relief for the Secretary of State's office to really study that out, and I think it would be a relief for the clerks and the public even to be able to give their input on how they think it should be moving forward. It's going to be tough. So I do appreciate your honesty and openness. Thank you.
Wayne?
I guess I'm a little wary of a funding model that is like C-STARS, where the system is hopelessly backward. There's not a week that doesn't go by without major system failures. And I think half the email I get from the state of Colorado is the system's down, and then the system's up. So I get a little concerned if it gets lost, and I think the funding for the motor vehicle system got lost somewhere at the state level. And technology is hard to get people to appropriate money for. Having been a commissioner, when someone's sitting there with their kids saying, what a wonderful thing this park is, what a wonderful thing the 4-H system is, those always carry more oomph to them than the person who says, the technology system needs to be upgraded in order to keep pace with changing blah, blah, blah. And so there's a tendency not to fund it at the level. So I don't know how you address that. Because a system, an initial purchase of a system is one thing, but this is an ongoing thing. It's just like the problem we have with the HAVA funds. It all showed up great for a little bit, but y'all are right. They're starting to age. And so what happens next? I do think it's important that, however, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different systems. Education uses more of a formula system. But for capital equipment, that may not be the thing that makes the most sense. And so I think we need to be open to looking at different things. We need to make sure that all the counties are included in that process. And we have to address both replacement and expansion, as some counties grow faster and will likely need expansion. And that's one thing that CSTARS doesn't have any funding for. The expansion thing, I think they've got enough for about one office of about 3 people every year. Is kind of their level that they're funding at. So there's some, I guess I'm wary of that funding model because it hasn't worked. And like Danette is ready to answer, so.
Yeah, I wasn't particularly talking about the funding model. I was talking about the governance, a committee. And so it's not in one, the head of, whether it's a Secretary of State or an agency that would be doing this. I don't want them to make all the decisions. I want it to be have a committee that there is people, the counties are involved in this process because it's ongoing, like you said. This isn't just for today. This is upgrade to a system, new software, new firmware, new, you know, whatever the system might require. I don't know what the model of paying for it should look like. That I'm not pulling that type of a, you know, saying that every voter that votes, there's so much money that goes into a pot or kitty or where it comes from, heaven only knows. You know, I'm not saying anything like that. How it's funded, I think we really have to look at. Whether it's a, you know, I think we have to look at what other states are doing. Deb told me this morning that California had a bill that just went through and it talked about all the issues. The funding, as well as certification. I think we need to look at that legislation and see what they've done because, you know, if we don't have to redesign a wheel, if we can swipe some ideas that somebody else has already thought of, a lot of times that pays off. So it wasn't how it was being funded. It was just the idea of having more people involved with the governance.
Okay, and I appreciate that clarification. And I think on the governance issue, you have to make sure that all of the counties are included, not just those that belong to a particular voluntary group, whatever that voluntary group may be. And that's one of the things that CSTARS doesn't have at the present time. And so that's why I'm a little bit wary of that model for governance, because it doesn't include all the counties in Colorado. Whether it's DOLA or whether it's Secretary of State's office, I think doesn't cause me a lot of loss of sleep as long as there's a process that's fair. And I know gaming grants are another thing that's allocated, and there have been some fairness issues that have been raised with respect to the allocation of gaming grants. And so I think we have to look at those and say, how do we ensure that this is a fair system that appropriately gets the money where it's needed and at the same time encourages folks who receive the money to use it responsibly? I think that's always one of the issues in any grant system. And so I think there's some things, and I appreciate the Secretary's willingness to look at different options. I don't think it needs to reside in a particular place. But we do have to make sure that people who are involved in it understand the critical nature of the elections process.
This is Sheila. Is it an appropriate time to speak?
Sure, Sheila.
Okay. I agree with what's being said so far, and Wayne, I also agree about all the counties being involved. And I was thinking that it'll be interesting to find out how the contracts work. So sort of like Runbeck so far, we don't know who they have the contract with at this point as being part of the uniform voting system, so I think that'd be nice to clarify also going forward is when we do purchase voting systems then, in the future, is the contract with who's the customer, essentially? And that's also part of the governance, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah. You can't see it, Sheila, but we're nodding our heads.
Right.
Okay, sounds good. And I think also I was going to speak about the timeline, because I think we do have time to go to legislation, and I totally support that move. And the SLI report, it came out that about half of the counties are looking at needing to replace their equipment in the next 5 years. So I was hoping that we could also at some point revisit our timeline on how this is going to be rolled out. I think that we last heard from the secretary that he wanted it done within 2 years, if I'm not mistaken.
I think this is Debbie. A couple of things I want to piggyback on the governance issue and then the legislation. And the governance issue, I think, is kind of important that we kind of really nail that down before we even look at funding. We and I say that kind of all-encompassing for counties and Secretary of State's office or whomever, kind of agree on that part of it, and then we can go as a unified body to the legislature in terms of the dollars. And I would like to see, I don't think we're going to have much success in going for dollars like, you know, $14 million in 1 year, that there is some phase-in period over a five-year period, you know, and that we have it scoped out that we're going to need, you know, in year one, this many, this two, three, four, so that there is some plan that they know that we're not just coming in at one time, but this is going to be phased in over a period of time. And also, I think that we need to make sure that the counties have a skin in the game, that there has to be some participation on the county part. It can't be just 100% state dollars. So how we come up with a, you know, like in the recording field, we have a technology fee. And that might be a technology fee for the counties per registered voter. Some type of a formula. I don't, you know, I'm just throwing out ideas right now that we have thought about that would be then our contribution towards a system that would be matched or somehow looked at with the state. So those are my thoughts.
I guess to follow up on that, I like the skin in the game concept. I think rather than just a set per voter, it would be, I would prefer you provide some form of a match to the money that's coming in that you're using, because that then incentivizes you to make sure you're buying the equipment you need. And I'm not saying anyone wouldn't, but when you have to come up with whether it's 5% of the money or 10 or whatever that number is, then you do have to think a little bit and say, do I really need this extra BOD printer? Do I really need this extra, you know, whatever it may be? And so I think that ensures that you're doing it. That's the type of skin in the game I prefer, as opposed to just a set flat amount, because then, hey, I've paid this much, so now I'm going to see how much I can get back. And so that's the method I'd prefer on that. But I think part of this is, until we know how much it costs, it's hard to go forward to the legislature with something to say, we're going to need some money, we're not sure how much.
Right.
Maybe you're luckier in your presentations to Denver City Council. but I know what I'm in front of folks trying to get money. And that's one of the reasons why I think we do need to get some response to the RFP, so we know what kind of cost parameters we're talking about. Because I think until you get that, I think it's hard to go in the legislature to say, give us a bunch of money, we're not sure how much we need, but however much it is, we'll use it really well. So that's why I think that part of it we need to get some information on.
And I agree with that, and I think that's why I was, you know, looking at a five-year thing, in that probably funding for year one would be a pilot. And you could probably come up with some pretty finite numbers for a pilot, mm-hmm. you know, however you wanted to find a pilot. And then, based upon the pilot, then you could come up with some really good numbers for out years. So, I mean, again, you know, I think the RFP is going to go out. I mean, we've tried our efforts to try and get that delayed, and I don't think that's going to happen. That's okay. That can go out there, but does it mean that we have to implement it, like, tomorrow? Mm-hmm. No. If you don't have any dollars or you don't have any government structure, I don't see how it's going to happen. So I think we have the time now to look at, you know, if we get these back, we get some dollar figures from it, then we can kind of frame out a pilot for, you know, I'd hate to say 14, but 15 maybe, I don't know. I mean, you need to look at that timing. I surely wouldn't want to do it in 14, but 15 is not any better for Denver because of the mayoral election, but I mean, others maybe. But.
Well, and if you're talking a pilot, then maybe we don't pick the one that's got the high-profile mayoral election.
You think?
But I like the concept of going forward and then saying, okay, well, where can we pilot this? Where mm-hmm. does it make sense? And find, you know, a couple different places mm-hmm. to pilot it with folks who are willing to be the guinea pigs, recognizing that there's some benefits and banes of doing that and making sure it works. Because all the proposals are nice, but until you actually see it, mm-hmm. you don't know.
You don't? Go ahead, Janetta.
I think the pilot makes a lot of sense. I agree with what you guys are saying.
Thank you, Sheila.
You know, reason why I think this is so important is we all deal with term limits. Most of the counties do. Some of them have said we don't have term limits. But even at that, we have turnover in our offices. So if the legislation is pretty well defined on what the governance is and what, you know, putting things in order, whether it's the Secretary of State's office that needs to have those guidelines in the future because of the same issues, or the counties, it gives that stability in the future to how elections can be ran really quite well in the state of Colorado. So I think that the legislation is really needed for that part too.
Maybe without working on the funding source, we could at least start working on the governance piece and trying to put that into some draft form of legislation, because you know, we can always go this year with the pilot program concept and the structure and the governance, which makes it easier for us to move forward on the rest of it. So, I mean, we have to, it's a chicken or the egg, I guess. We got to, you know, start somewhere. And if we never do the legislation, then we'll never get the money. And if we never get the money. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if we want to do that as, you know, some kind of subcommittee, whether you want me to look at the California legislation and then maybe take some of these ideas and go back and
have one of our staff draft up what a piece of legislation might look like and then talk about it again next time, you know, whatever you all want to do.
Go ahead, Janetta, you have some comments?
I haven't seen the legislation. I was really pleased that Deb had it, and I encouraged her to bring a copy for everybody and be ready to hand it out, and thank you. She just now is handing it out. So even if we reviewed it and come back with thoughts, I think it's too early for the staff to work on it. I think we need to come back with, you know, knowing us, we all have our own personalities, and come back with some thoughts. But I think this would really give this committee, gosh, we've got a lot that we can work on, and I don't know how the rest of the committee feels, but do you feel a subcommittee? I mean, we've been working on this, so I think that really us work on it and send it out to our cohorts and get their comments on it, because definitely we want their input. So I think that even if we just review it and get some ideas, because it's a new concept now for everybody to really think about it. We talked about it briefly up front when we met about this. But I think if we kind of start that way, maybe we can see what they've done and get some ideas.
Okay, well, maybe I'll ask one of our policy people to put together sort of an analysis of what the bill does, since it's 50.
Some 45 pages.
45 pages, and sort of just outline what the main components are, and then have a memorandum, and then, you know, with some alternatives, and then that'll structure our discussion later.
Yes, I think that would be valuable, and I think it would be helpful to send this out to the counties and, along with your analysis. They may not read the whole thing,
right?
You know, but they would definitely read the analysis of it, and I think that would be helpful to the counties to see, and we begin to get input from our locals.
Okay.
Can someone email Georgia and I what you guys are looking at?
Yeah. Sheila, you can look online.
Not necessarily right now.
It is California State Legislation, Senate Bill 360.
Okay, thanks. I'll do that.
Yeah, that's where I pulled it. And that's what I just passed out. It's about 45 pages long, and it predominantly deals with certification and the actual, there's a whole big section on funding. But I think one of the parts that I really liked is there was a lot of definitions. My previous life with Suzanne, we always talked about definitions.
It's all in the definitions.
It's all in the definitions. So they had some really good definitions in here that I think that would really help us, guide us, and keep us on track. Like Danetta said, that regardless of who's in office, it will be defined for all of us on it. I like the idea of a subcommittee working with SOS staff, maybe some of their policy people, to kind of look at this and bring something back to the next meeting. I don't think we have enough time to just keep waiting a month in between, just because of, well, number one, there's election coming up, but also two, that the legislature is coming up too, and they're already looking for bill titles. So is that amenable to you guys on the phone and you here? Someone want to work on a governance subcommittee?
Yeah, the one thing I like this to, as I was hearing the idea of a pilot program, I think it is a good idea, but I would want to make sure that we had some kind of agreed metric for deciding whether or not the pilot was successful or not. I know that a lot of the whole idea of having a uniform system is to be a cost saver by using economies of scale in doing ordering from particular vendors, and I'm not sure you would necessarily achieve that or have an ability to measure that if you're doing it on a smaller scale. So just that as an idea, as we're structuring this, trying to figure out, you know, what we're trying to see in a pilot program, and how do we measure whether or not it's successful or not.
I guess that means you're volunteering.
I think the phone's breaking up. Sorry, I didn't think I heard that last comment.
I love you, George.
But I see Wayne's hand up. I think it's for a volunteer.
Yep.
Sheila will try.
Okay.
And I have a question on that then. So you said this bill talks about certification.
Yes.
And that brought to mind, so if we go forward with the RFP and we're able to successfully get some sort of pilot going, how would we get that system through certification? Or would you guys think that because it's a pilot, it wouldn't have to be a certified system?
No, it would still have to be certified, but it would, you know, we would just have to get a timeline from the selected vendor and then probably fund that certification process separately. I think, Al, maybe, what did we say, 4 to 6 months?
In best case, yes.
In best case, yeah. So, no, we're definitely okay. Looking at 2015. I mean, this isn't going to get done for 14.
Okay. All right. So I see Danetta, Sheila,
Wayne.
George. Did I hear George? Oh, no, that was breaking up. That's right.
Wayne.
Are the guinea pigs for the governance? Good.
We'll just, Al will just set that up with everyone's schedule, and then we can certainly do, we'll just post it, and we can do it as a phone-in and stream it. So.
Okay, great. All right, so we now we have a subcommittee on governance.
Madam Chair, along Sheila's question about the bill, since you were passed it out at this meeting, we'll be posting it on our website too.
Okay, sure.
Probably by tomorrow.
Okay, you can pull it from California. It just passed out of their Senate on September 6th, so it's fairly hot. So.
Has it passed the House also? Do you know?
Yeah, it did on September 4th. So it's out of both of them. So
waiting for the governor.
Right. That went through pretty quick.
Yeah. So it's been out of both of them.
So a lot of work done by LA County for the past several years that has gone into this. In my knowledge, I know that they've done a lot of work, I would say, for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Time flies, so I imagine it's been at least 3 years.
This is Faith. Donetta, a question for you. So this came out of their top-down system review or whatever it was called?
What I know about it, and it's not that much. It had to do with the top-down, but it also had a great deal to do with LA County needing desperately new voting system because of one issue is the bilingual requirements that they have. They are at the max.
They'd be happy if it was just bilingual.
Yeah, they would be happy. But a system that would meet the needs of LA County. Obviously, LA County is bigger than the state of Colorado, so they have a lot of issues that they are definitely been concerned with and working through and trying to involve their whole community. They've been really working hard on it for several years. So I was at their kickoff meeting, but don't ask me the date. I have no idea. The state has really gotten behind it. So I think it's a good idea for us to look at it. I haven't read it at all, but I think it's a great idea to look at it.
I just want to put a caveat out there in reading this, that it was very interesting to note that you could see LA's footprint on this is because it does allow a county to have a system developed just for them and get it certified by the state. So if anyone wants to try that, then go ahead. But anyway. But anyway, that's in here. It gives them the ability to do that.
I wouldn't suggest it for anybody in Colorado.
But anyway, just wanted to say that on there. Any other questions for Suzanne? I think what the conclusion we came to, let me just kind of wrap it up, is that we see the importance of a governance. We're looking at putting together some legislation that would deal with that predominantly, but also once you read the LA one or the California one, you'll understand that they also have in there not only just in terms of governance, but they have a lot to do with the certification and funding are in there too. So that committee is going to do that, and Al's going to make that happen. Anything else on the governance stuff? Yeah.
Madam Chair, what's the timeline you would like that subcommittee to meet?
Well, I would like to see them bring something back for our next meeting next month. Not draft legislation, but concepts.
not draft budget?
No, not yet. Not quite yet. I'm getting there. And I know, you know, Wayne and Sheila have nothing else to do, so. So anyway, any other questions, comments on that? So, okay, the next one has to do with the review of the SLI report, and I think Suzanne was going to kind of walk this, and I think more importantly with this report is kind of what was the reaction of the commission, the 1303 commission, and what steps are they going to take? Because in my review of it, there was a lot of overlap of some of the work that we had done.
Yeah, and this report was put out by SLI, which was the vendor selected by the 1303 commission. And the report is available up on our website under the Election Modernization Commission tab.
And we had emailed it out to all the members of this committee as well.
Right, but if anybody at home is looking to find it, that's where the report is. And a lot of you may have already looked through it. But the commission put this together because 1303 required the report come out by the September 15th deadline, and so it was a pretty hurry up timeline. Do you have a copy of the report?
I do, right here.
Yeah, I just don't even have a copy in front of me. I don't want to print it out. And when we went back through it, you know, we asked them to analyze the voting systems that are currently being used in Colorado, those that have been certified by the EAC and those that have not yet been certified by the EAC. They looked at the ballot on demand system and the process and timeline for certifying other voting systems, which we just touched on, because our statutes allow us to either use equipment that's previously been certified by the EAC or to certify on our own. The replacement of voting systems, which was a big concern for the commission, the analysis of the county's needs, as well as the changes now in what the counties may need. In the past, the counties have relied heavily on in-person voting, and that has required sort of what we look at as the bulky kind of equipment, the DREs and that sort of thing. And with the new 1303 model, you know, what kind of cost savings are we going to see from that? And what are the needs going to be going forward? Because I think they changed significantly with this legislation. So what they did at SLI is they sent out surveys to all the counties and did many follow-up interviews. And a lot of it did overlap with the commission, and so with this uniform voting systems group. And we had the chair of the public participation and Clerk Johnson come in and talk to us at the 1303 commission prior to sending out the surveys so that we could hopefully minimize the work on the counties who were being surveyed here and surveyed there and try to put those together. So there is a lot of pretty useful information in the report. It is not as detailed as the work that the Uniform Voting Systems group has done. It's more of an overview, and it's prepared for the legislature, and so it's a little bit less technical in nature. There was some talk at the commission about the funding, and you know, as we have discussed here, we really decided that it was probably too early. We had SLI ask some questions of the vendors about funding, but they were all hesitant to respond because the RFP is out and they didn't want to be giving away essentially proprietary information prior to all the bids coming in at the same time. So they weren't very successful in getting money number, you know, any numbers that because of that issue. And a lot of the vendors, it seemed, were probably a little more hesitant to talk about those future systems and that kind of thing because they didn't want to put that in the report. So I think that from the commission's perspective, I think a lot of reliance will be on this committee to make a recommendation about any kind of uniform voting system or voting systems in general. And but I'm happy to answer any questions about the report to the extent that I know. We also tried to use it to provide as much information as we could to this committee
since we had the resource and the allocation to hire the vendor.
Go ahead, Donetta.
And I don't know, Suzanne, do you know if I, when I read it, I noticed that they quoted a lot the California top-down report. A lot of changes were made to systems after that with upgrade software or different things like that. And the counties have purchased those upgrades. Do you know if they took those into consideration when they did the report on, you know, the systems as being in our, used in our counties?
You know, I don't think that they really looked at that issue closely until the report had essentially already been drafted, and that was an issue that was brought up by Clerk Hall when we were going through the final draft, was that some of these upgrades have happened, and so we haven't experienced a lot of the problems that they point out in the report that California has experienced. So, you know, they focused on those kinds of, you know, pluses and minuses and vulnerabilities. But part of it is, you know, SLI, I think, had maybe 3 weeks to put, maybe four, I don't, you know, but it was a very short time frame that they were given to put the report together. And so I don't know that they, you know, got into those kinds of details, because we didn't get a draft until the Friday before we had to approve it. And at that point, it was kind of difficult to give them feedback, because it would have been one-off feedback, you know, that then they would have had to go back out and ask everybody, is that your experience, you know, in order to adopt it as a part of their official report or do additional research.
With this being out to the public, I think it's really important to know that a lot of the counties have made changes to the systems since then, so that the public wouldn't think that we're only utilizing equipment in our state that negatively shows in this report. I think the counties can speak to that better than I can, but that was my concern when I read it. I thought, whoo, the public, this is out now for them to see, and if they are not really seeing the full picture, I think it could be a real negative to our voters understanding our process.
Well, I think that I think that's a really good point. And I think that one thing that we could do is, if somebody were to suggest some sort of an addendum, you know, we don't have to adopt the SLI report whole cloth. I mean, the commission could have written their own report if they had been, you know, able to, if we'd had the expertise or ability. I mean, it was the commission's report. So, I mean, if there are suggested changes, we had already talked about doing an addendum once the RFPs come in regarding, you know, the open question of funding and governance and that sort of thing. So I think that certainly the commission would be open to, you know, taking some kind of an addendum to the report or response and publishing it with it.
Or even a statement,
right,
saying, you know, something, I don't know, I'm looking at the counties for their feedback on this, but even a statement I think would be very helpful, saying that counties have moved forward, that this doesn't reflect what is being, you know, their system has within their own county. So,
well, maybe, I mean, even just a letter to the commission from the Clerks Association or from you, you know, we could just post it with the report online.
Yeah. Maybe we can visit about that. This is Sheila, and I was wondering too. It concerned me to have flaws noted of the systems that are in use, and I think they may not have had knowledge of our conditional use requirements. There's things said like election day devices have locks and seals that are susceptible to compromise, but that's why we have like 8 seals in our rules for every device that we put out that we have to log. So, I don't know, I felt a little bit like the negativity. I wasn't sure where that direction came from. I thought that they were mainly just trying to figure out what the state of the equipment was and what was needed going forward.
I'm just going to echo what Donetta and both Sheila has stated, but I also think I like the idea of, Donetta, you checking with the Clerk Association to see if we can kind of make some statement on behalf of the clerks to that effect.
I'd be more than happy to. We've got, I'll reach out to the counties, and Sheila, help me, and we'll make sure that we discuss it so that we can get something back to you somehow or another with some type of a statement of, so that the counties feel that, I just want their feedback. Wayne's shaking his head, so I hope that he...
Yeah, Wayne's shaking his head going, yeah, that's, you know, what you have in the report, and I am the first to admit I've not spent as much time going through it because I was kind of involved in some other thing going on for the last couple weeks in El Paso County, for which, by the way, I do appreciate help from Denver and Douglas and Arapaho. But I think it is important for us to respond and say, you know, I know some of them said software's going obsolete, no longer going to be supported. Well, that may be a yes. We recognize that this is reliant on a version of MS whatever that's no longer terribly supported. So I think some of it may be, yes, this is an issue. That's why we're looking at new systems. And some of it may be, hey, we have fixed it, and here's how. Or here are, you know, this is what we've done in response to this reported vulnerability, or this upgrade addressed this vulnerability. So I think you're absolutely right. We need to have something there, because right now what's out there is simply, hey, these are problems. The whole world's collapsing, and some of it may be, yes, it, you know, when I look at the Premier one, many cards for transfer are becoming obsolete. Yeah. Operating systems upon which the voting system applications reside are reaching the end of the life and will not be supported by original manufacturers. I mean, those are some of the issues that say why you have to get new systems occasionally. Very few of us are using the same computer we had 20 years ago, unless you're in government. And so I think it is important for us to have a response there, because as a public document, someone reading this may think everything is extraordinarily problematic, and there may be some problems that are in there that need to be addressed, but others of them may have already been. So I think you're absolutely right that we need to do that.
Yeah. And I think that part of the issue, I guess in defense of SLI, is that, you know, they had to do a lot of independent research because, you know, they could only impose upon the counties, you know, to so far in that short time period. And so I think they did quite a bit of research on their own beyond just, you know, speaking with the counties. And then, you know, like I said, when we got this report and it was essentially already put together, that was just a function of the timing. And I don't think that a proper study like this can be done in that sort of time period. I mean, it really should have been a 6-month study or, you know, something much greater. But the same was true with the needs assessment. And, you know, the vendor we had on the first needs assessment didn't even apply on the second one, I think, because the timetable was such that they felt so compromised that they knew that the work was going to be not complete. And so, you know, then we have a second report by a different vendor, and my guess is that, you know, the next request we put out, they probably won't apply. So, you know, I thought given what they had, they put together a pretty good report, but I think we would certainly welcome comments, because I think we recognize that they can't put together a full analysis in that amount of time. And so any comments would certainly be welcome, and we can attach those to the report so that the public can see a more complete view.
Just, I mean, I think I hope the Clerk Association will follow up and make sure that you know, our response back to that happens. But I think just a little confusion here. I'm not real sure, what is the commission going to use this for?
Well, I think they just reported it to the legislature.
I mean, I don't know that we're using it going forward. I think it was just a requirement of the bill. You know, we do have a list that we then, you know, come back to and follow up on. And so, for example, with the needs assessment, we have that charted out. You know, what were all the needs? Where are we within that, you know, based upon that report? And then we'll do the same with this report, which is pull out what are the needs that we need to continue to come back and address, and how far along are we, you know, in a project management sense in completing those needs. But when it comes to voting systems, I mean, that's really going to be more in the purview of the counties, and funding sources and that kind of thing, because the other needs assessment had to do with, you know, how quickly are you going to get OLVR fixed to do this, and how, you know, things that actually have to be implemented in order to make 1303 work. This does not have to be implemented in order to make 1303 work. New voting systems are you know, that's a need that has just pre-existed legislation. And so I don't know that the committee has any particular thing it's going to do with it, unless there are, I mean, coming out of this report, there was nothing identified that this has to be done by X date, which is more what the committee is, the commission is concerned about. And so I don't know. You'd have to go back and talk to the drafters of 1303.
No,
I don't know what the, you know, I'm not sure what they had in mind for this report, except maybe to inform the legislature of, you know, real problems that would exist in trying to implement.
I just, to piggyback on that, that I think the use I see for us as an advisory committee would be that, as you stated, the staff is going through in terms of pulling out the, what are the needs that have been identified, that we at least have some knowledge of that, so that when we do the evaluation criteria for the RFPs, that we're looking at that some of those needs are being met, so that we can at least, you know, use them as part of the evaluation. Okay, this part of it is going to actually take care of this need. So I just was hoping that maybe we could use that information you're pulling out of it for that purpose.
Well, once I once we have it put on the evaluation chart, I'll let Al know what things got pulled out of the report. And then I think it would be a good idea at some point to have another joint meeting, or at least have the chairs of the two groups come back and talk to the commission.
Okay. That'd be great. Any other comments, suggestions in terms of this SLI report? I mean, go ahead.
This is Faith. It would have been wonderful to have had this study done back in January, just for the record.
We love you, Faith.
You're going to miss me.
I know, we are. But, okay, so there's two things that I think that came out of the discussion on the SLI report. Number one, that the Clerk Association is going to look at making some comment or response to the report, and also that the information that it, the SOS staff is pulling out of the report as needs are shared with Al or us, and or I should say us, to make sure that we are using that information as part of our evaluations for the RFP. On that. So any other comments, questions on that? Do you want to take a break, or do you just want to plow through the last one?
Take a five-minute break.
Five-minute break. So we'll be back here at 2:25.
It's 10.